night. Hey, Lord, I wouldn't give up all night. Hey, Lord, I just held on all night. Hey, y'all, I wouldn't give up. Oh, I called on the Lord all night long, and I would let go until he blessed my. I'm a witness, great God Almighty, that he came through all night. Hey, y'all, I wouldn't leave up all night. Hey, y'all, I just held on all night. Hey, y'all, I wouldn't give up. Oh, I called on the Lord all night long, and I would let go until he blessed my. I'm a witness, great God Almighty, that he came through. Amen. Amen. The prophet said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength." And then he went on to say, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." I tell you, if you just wait on the Lord, you will soar like an eagle. If you wait on the Lord, you will run and you won't get weary. If you wait on the Lord, you will walk and you'll never faint, because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the gospel according to Matthew. The chapter is number 11. And I want to begin reading at the 28th verse. Matthew chapter 11. I want to begin reading at the 28th verse. You have that, say amen. And before I read this text, I want to give a shout out and a congratulations to Brother Earl and Marilyn Allen for 41 years of marital bliss. Can you say amen to that? Let's give him a hand, amen. And Brother Earl said he ain't through yet. He's still hanging in there. Praise God, amen. Congratulations on your great day today. Matthew 11, 28. Reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, the heart of a Savior. The heart of a Savior. Now, many people come to church for many reasons. Or should I say, they come to worship for many reasons. Some people come to church because of the building. Amen. Some people come to church because of the people that attend that church. Some people come to church because of the preacher. They like the way the preacher get his preach on, amen. Some people come to church because of the convenience. But the greatest reason or the best thing the church has going for it is Jesus. Best thing we got to offer people is Jesus. Is that all right? Now, Jesus may not be regarded as one of the world's greatest minds or one of the world's greatest thinkers by those who rate. But I'm convinced this morning that Jesus Christ is the greatest mind this world has ever seen. He's the greatest thinker this world has ever seen because God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Many times in Scripture, many descriptions are given to Jesus. Sometimes he's called the Christ. Sometimes he's called the Christ, the Son of the living God. Sometimes he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sometimes he's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There are many designations and descriptions of Jesus, but perhaps one of the most simplest designations of Jesus and one of the most profound is Savior. Savior. Amen. Well, what is a Savior? Well, you can know what a Savior is by what he does. A Savior is somebody that saves. Amen. Many times when you look at the concept of salvation, it has many facets or dimensions of meaning. Sometimes salvation can mean to recover from an illness. Sometimes it has the idea of escaping danger. Sometimes salvation carries the idea of to preserve a city from attack. And sometimes it carries the idea of to bring home safely from a journey. Well, in a sense, Jesus does all of these because he helps us to escape danger. He recovers us from our illness. He keeps us safe, as Brother Brandon Harris prayed this morning. He kept us safe all week, amen. He watched over us all last night, amen. And not only that, Jesus Christ is taking us on a journey from earth to glory. When he talked about his mission, he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When he was in a discussion with Nicodemus, he told him that John 3:17, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then there's in 1 Timothy 1:15 what is called a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptation, and it's this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I am chief. Paul said in this text, I'm the leading sinner. He said in this text, I'm the worst one. I'm the chief of sinners. And I want to tell you, I got some good news for you. You are not the worst sinner. I'm not the worst sinner. And if God could say the chief, he could say the Indians too. Is that all right? And so Paul said that Jesus Christ came into the world. And not only did he come into the world to save sinners, he saved Paul. Yeah, Paul is going to be in heaven. He saved David. Yeah, David going to be in heaven. You know, God is in the saving business. He's in the saving business. And one thing I'm convinced about, and that's this, and that is, if you really have accepted Jesus from your heart, now notice what I said, from your heart, then your life should be getting better. If you've accepted him. Because he said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and life more. Now, if you are a true follower of Jesus and you are not beginning to experience the abundant life, something is wrong. Something is wrong if you don't see joy increasing in your life. Yes, if you don't see peace making its way into your life. If you don't see happiness making its way into your life, because that's what Jesus is all about. That's what he's all about. And as I hook up with him, the possibilities for my life ought to be more optimistic than I ever been. A pessimistic Christian is a contradiction, because God is the God of hope. Is that right? So I want to talk with you this morning about, because we all got to get to know him better. If anybody in the church, you ought to know, that's Jesus. And one time, and perhaps one of the best ways to know him, I want to talk about four dimensions of the heart of a Savior. Four dimensions of the heart of a Savior. Here's the first dimension. In his heart was meekness and lowliness. Jesus in Matthew 11 begins to talk about his heart. And I'm pretty much sure that this is the only verse in the New Testament where he talks about his own heart. So we could call this the cardia. Sometime you go to the hospital, you see what's called the cardiac unit. And that's from the Greek word cardia. Well, Jesus in this text in Matthew, look at Matthew 11, 28 again. In this text, let's look at it again. Jesus is talking about his own heart. And I think when Jesus talks about his own heart, somebody ought to listen. When he's talking about his heart, somebody ought to listen to what he has to say. And so he said in this text, he said, I'm going to read it again. He said, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I'm lowly in my cardia. What was he saying? He was saying that I'm meek means I'm mild and I'm gentle. Lowly means I'm humble, of low degree. So you don't have to be dreadful about coming to Jesus, because he's meek. Numbers 12:3 said that Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. But Jesus surpasses Moses. But not only is he meek, that means he's mild and he's gentle as he deals with broken, trembling, afraid, and unsure people. You ever thought about coming to somebody and you feel like, I just can't really approach them because I know how they are? But in the case of Jesus, you never have to be afraid. I don't care what you've done. Are you listening? I don't care where you are. Never, you never have to be afraid to approach Jesus, because he has the heart of a Savior. He said, I'm meek. And since I'm meek and lowly, I'm meek enough to receive sinners and eat with them. I'm lowly enough to come down from the heights of glory and take on the form of a slave. I'm lowly and humble enough to let myself be crucified on a cross. I'm meek and I'm lowly. And I'm so humble, I put on a towel one day. And I girded myself with a towel and I washed the dirty feet of men. Because I'm meek, I'm humble. You know, I'm so meek and I'm so humble, I can deal with your profanity and your blasphemy. I'm so meek and so humble, I can deal with your ingratitude. I'm so meek and I'm so lowly, I can deal with your lack of appreciation. I can deal with your enmity. I can deal with your malice. I can deal with your bad attitude because I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. So you don't ever have to be afraid. I don't care if you've been away from church for 30 years, never be afraid to come back to Jesus. And you know why? Because he has the heart of a Savior. He's meek. He's gentle. We got to learn how to be like him. Yes, in one sense, he's dual. In one sense, he's the Lamb of God. In another sense, he's the Lion of Judah. In one sense, he's wiser than a serpent. In the next sense, he's harmless as a dove. In one sense, he's meek, yet he's great. Is that all right? He's lowly, yet he's strong. Is that right? So you never have to be afraid to come to Jesus. You never have to be embarrassed to come to Jesus. It doesn't get so bad you can't come to Jesus. I know you might say, well, Brother Moss, I done messed up, man. You don't know what I do. I never get so bad. You can't come to Jesus because he has the heart of a Savior. And so he said, if you are out here in life and you're struggling, you're under a burden, all you that are heavy laden, and he said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you some. I'm going to take a load off your mind. Is that all right? I'm going to let you lay your burden down. Because I have the heart of a Savior. So I want you to just come on. And it's three things I want you to do when you come. I want you to come. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Don't you talk yourself out of it. You come on to Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that. And you see, all of us here this morning got problems. Hello. My problem may not be yours, but I got some. All of us wrestling with something. Is that all right? But Jesus is a burden bearer. Lord have mercy. He's a heavy load sharer. And so he said, no matter where you are, never be afraid because I'm mild and I'm gentle and I'm humble and I will, whatever you've done, doesn't make any difference. Wherever you are, doesn't make any difference. Come unto me and I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you rest. You can't fix it by yourself. Come on to me. And then he said, when you come, he said, take my yoke upon you. You're going to find out that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that all right? You're going to find out that, yeah, he's going to put a yoke on you, but it's going to be easy. And this burden is going to be light. You know, when you love somebody, you don't mind doing something for them. Hello, y'all. But if you don't care anything about them, you don't want to do anything for them. Is that correct? But because I love him, I don't mind hooking up. I got to hook up with Jesus because I'm moving through life. And one day my life is going to end. But one thing about it, even though one day you may descend into the valley and the shadow of death, if Jesus is with you, you don't have to worry because he's mental, he's gentle, he's mild, he's meek, he's lowly, and he'll meet you at the valley and he'll escort you through the valley. Even though your friends got to turn around and go back to the church and eat chicken and cake and sweet tea, Jesus says, I'll never leave you. That's the heart of a Savior. Nor will I ever forsake you. You ever been forsaken by a friend? You ever been in a situation where you thought somebody had your back? And they expose your back. Hello, y'all. You ever been in a situation where you went in business with somebody, you had the money, somebody else had the experience. When it was over, they had the money, and you had the experience. Is that all right? You ever been in a situation like that? Well, with Jesus Christ, it never works out that way. Here's a second thing I want you to see about his heart. In his heart is compassion. The heart of a Savior, there's compassion. One day, he told a story about two men who went up to a temple to pray. And Jesus, being the master storyteller, could always tell stories to tell it like it is. In his story, he would turn on the Morrow floodlight to help us to see ourselves just as we are, because he was a master storyteller. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. Two men went to the temple one day to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican or a tax gatherer. And the Bible said that the publican stood afar, brother, the Pharisee stood afar and said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give alms of all that I have. And I thank you, God, I'm not an adulterer or a thief or a liar or a murderer. But he didn't have any compassion. There was another man in the temple trying to pray, and he looked at that man and he looked down on him. You see, some people look down, but Christ will never look down on you. Is that all right? I heard a sister say a long time ago, if folks think you ain't got no money, they treat you bad. Y'all may have come on here and say amen. They figure you broke, they gonna treat you like you broke. Is that all right? Word get around, you broke, you can't borrow no money. How you gonna pay me back? Is that all right? But Jesus Christ never looked down on anybody, because in his heart was the heart of a Savior. And in his heart was compassion. And compassion means to feel with. It means to pity. It means to have sympathy for people. And I'm so glad my Savior look down upon me and sympathizes with my struggles. One day he was out in his ministry, and his ministry was so dynamic and so exciting. He had a prophetic ministry, and he was attracting people to his ministry like flowers attract bees. He was just that dynamic and exciting. One day a multitude had been with him about 3 days, Brother Blair, and they were about to leave, and Jesus said, if I send them away, they're going to faint, they're going to fall out, because they haven't eaten in 3 days. And Jesus said, I have compassion on them. And so he said, is there any bread among us? They said, we only got a few loaves and a few fish. Jesus said, tell them to sit down. I'm going to have compassion on them. And he fed him because he had compassion. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And now you got a Savior that's got compassion. He had enough of compassion to one day to go through a place called Samaria. There was a woman in Samaria that he knew he had to go help. Her life was messed up. Woman had had 5 marriages. Come on, y'all. And now, since marriage didn't work, she said she just shack up. I want to let you know, shack it up ain't right. I don't care who doing it. You can't go fishing without a license. Is that all right? How you going to live together without a license? Is that all right? Doesn't matter who doing it. It's wrong to do. And so she's shacking up. Jesus had compassion, came by that well one day and sat down on that well. Let her know that he was a well sitting on a well. Is that all right? Told that woman, woman, give me some water. She said, how is it, sir, you being a Jew would ask me for a drink of water? He said, woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was talking to you, you would be asking me for some water, and I would give you water. And if you drink it, you'll never thirst no more. She said, sir, give me some of that water. So woman, go and call your husband. She said, Lord, I ain't got no husband. She said, yeah, you're right. Because you done had 5. And the one you got now ain't yours. Is that all right? She said, sir, I perceive you must be a prophet. Is that all right? He went by to give her some water. Even though her life was tied up, tangled up, and messed up, Jesus came to help her because he had compassion. He got the heart of a savior. He'll help you. He'll have compassion. I don't care what you're dealing with. He'll help you, whatever you're going through. He'll help you. Is that right? And then one day, he went back to Samaria. Brother, he'll run over to Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Let me show you his compassion. Let me show you the heart of a savior. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through about verse number 56. What does that say, my brother?
And it came to pass.
Came to pass.
When the time was come that he received up.
All right.
He steadfastly.
It was time for him to be received up into heaven.
Read. Set his face.
He set his face.
To Jerusalem.
To Jerusalem.
And sent messengers before
him. And sent messengers before him.
And they went.
And they went.
And entered into a village.
Into a village.
Of the Samaritans.
Of the Samaritans.
To make ready for him.
All right.
And they did not receive.
And he tried to go into this village, but the folks wouldn't receive him. Do you see that, church? You know, sometimes you try to help folks and they turn on you. Like a den of rattlesnakes. Is that all right? And then when they turn on you, you get mad. Hello, y'all? Well, let's see what happened here. Read, Brother Hillary.
Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem.
All right, read.
And when Jesus, his disciples.
And when James and John heard about it.
They said, Lord.
When James and John heard about it, they said, Lord,
would you command fire?
I want you to, you know, Elijah, call down fire and burn some folks up. What we ought to do is just burn these folks up. They're going to act like that. We'll show them what's happening. Is that all right? Let's drop a smart bomb on them. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Wilt thou that we command fire
to come down from heaven
and consume them?
That it may consume. Now watch the heart of a savior. You know, even while he hung on that cross, you see the heart of a savior. You see his heart working because he's saying, while he's hanging on that cross, listen to him. While he's hanging on that cross, he's saying, Father, forgive him. Oh, if I had been on that cross, it was a blessing. I'm just saying, Father, get him. Get him, Father. Take me off that cross, Father. Is that all right? You hear what I'm saying? But my Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. Read, Brother Hillary.
But he turned and rebuked them and said.
But he turned and rebuked his disciples and said,
you know not what manner of
spirit you don't know what you're talking about. In fact, you don't know what spirit is operating in you. You know, sometimes, church, you can be talking and the devil's got control of your mouth and you don't even know it. The devil can have control of your heart and your speech and you don't even know he's talking through you. Until you go back and reassess and say, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. I kind of dropped the ball. I fumbled the ball on that one. I missed the layup on that. I struck out on that one. Is that all right? Or any other sports analogy that I could use to describe this concept? Read, Brother Hillary.
For the Son of Man is not come.
He said, Jesus said, the Son of Man
is not come.
I didn't come
to destroy men's
lives. To destroy people's lives.
But to save them.
But to save them. I didn't come down here to hurt people. I got the heart of a savior. I come to help people. I come to lift people. I come to die for people. I didn't come to, if they reject me, to send fire on them. Is that all right? Here's the third thing I want you to see. In his heart was patience. In his heart was patience. And, you know, Christ knows. Let's just be real. We're going to extend the invitation this morning, and some of y'all need to accept it, but you're not going to do it. And you know you need to accept it. Some of you are going to sit in here today after we extend the invitation. That's going to be in a few moments, a few minutes. And you know you need to come, but all kind of things going to run through your mind. First of all, I ain't walking down in front of all them folks. But if I had a check for you, you'd come down here in front of all these folks. Is that all right? Amen. Well, here's the point. Jesus knows that people need time to get their lives together. Now, this is going to really blow your mind. And Christ gives them time. He gave you time. You ain't always been this pretty. He gave me time. You always had it together spiritually? You ain't never committed but three sins in your whole life? Come on, help. Talk to me this morning. Did the Lord have to be patient with you? Jesus has patience. Run over quickly, Brother Hillary, to 1 Timothy 1:16. I want to show you this. Paul, here's the chief of sinners making a profound statement. Profound statement. 1:16. Well, back up, get verse 15. And verse 12. Let's start with verse 12 and we'll go through verse 16. I want them to see the context out of which verse 16 is coming. What does it say?
And I thank Christ Jesus.
How many can thank Christ Jesus this morning? I can thank the Lord Jesus for rescuing me. Pull my feet out the miry clay. Is that all right? And set my feet on higher ground this morning. And I want to praise his glorious name for what he's done for me. Read, Brother Hillary.
Who hath enabled me. For that he counted me
he
faithful.
He counted me faithful. God saw something in you couldn't see in yourself. Is that all right? You thought you was no good and ready for the garbage heap, but God said, no, I'm going to clean you up, straighten you up, turn you around, and I got work for you to do. Read, Brother Hillary.
Putting me into the ministry.
He put me into the ministry.
Who was before.
Here's what I was before. I was
a blasphemer. And a persecutor.
I hurt people. I put people in jail. Read.
And injurious.
I injured people.
But I obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly. In unbelief.
Christ could have killed him on the Damascus road, but instead Christ saved him. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
And the grace of our Lord. Was exceeding abundant.
How many can say this morning, God's grace been exceedingly abundant? I mean, God sure been good to me. Can you say amen to that? That the Lord sure enough been good to me. Watched over me all night long. And I want to thank him. Read, Brother Hillary.
With faith and love.
Which is in Christ Jesus.
This is a faithful saying.
And worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the leading sinner. I'm the worst one. Now you ain't as bad as he is. But why is he ain't far behind though? Yeah, but you number two. You can't be number one. Ain't but number one. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary. Watch verse 16.
How be it for this reason.
I want you to see this now.
I obtained mercy. That in me,
God puts the chief of sinner on display. So all other sinners can look at him. Read.
That in me first. Jesus Christ might show. All long suffering.
A Jesus Christ could show in my life patience, forbearance, waiting on me. I know I ain't right. How many days did I go to sleep in sin? Woke up in sin. Lived a whole week in sin. Lived a whole month in sin. Lived a whole year in sin. year after year after year, and Christ got the heart of a Savior. It's just giving me time. Because some of us need time this morning. Because we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. Come on. But Christ gives me time because he's got patience. It's going to take time for you to get yourself together. But I want you to understand this. Time ain't eternal. You don't know how much time you got. Is that right? Read, Brother Hillary.
For a pattern.
He set me up as a pattern of patience and mercy and forbearance. For whom?
Which should hereafter believe on
for
him.
Those who should hereafter. For the Damian Hillaries. For the Eric Miltons. For the Marcus West. For the Jackie Clark. For the Peter Mosses. Folks who gonna come after me. I'm setting him up as a pattern of patience. And you see, sometimes when you're dealing with young folks, you just got to be patient. Hello, parents. You just got to be patient because it's just going to take time. Amen. And aren't you glad this morning Christ has patience? Here's the final thing as we conclude. He has a heart of love. Four things. A heart of humility. A heart of compassion. A heart of patience. And a heart of love. Let's look at this. One day, a young man came running to Jesus. Rich young ruler came running to Jesus. He had been successful in the marketplace because he was rich, he was young, and he had done all right. And we tend to fawn, and if somebody is rich, we tend to just kind of look at them differently. Y'all might well say amen. Somebody been out in the marketplace and they've done well. Amen. We tend to measure people by what they have or don't have. Is that correct? This young man came running to Jesus one day, running, kneeling, asking, saying to him, "Good master, what is it I must do?" Now watch this very carefully. To inherit eternal life. His theology was correct. He knew something about the scripture because he didn't say, "What can I do to earn salvation?" Because that's not possible. Salvation is strictly and absolutely a gift from God. All of us are saved by grace through faith, not of work. None of us, we're going to be in heaven, but we didn't earn it. It was a gift from God. Is that all right? And so this young man, so he said, "What is it I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Well, look at the scripture, young man. Thou shalt love the father and mother. Don't bear false witness," and all that thing. He said, "Well, master, I've done this since I was a child." And he didn't dispute him. But watch this. Then the text said that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him because in his heart was a heart of love. And he, now I want you to get it, he loved him enough to tell him the truth. Every one of us needs somebody in our life we trust and believe in close enough to us to tell us the truth. So he told him, "It's one thing, young man, that's going to cause you to not inherit heaven. And that's your money. Now, is that heavy? So the best thing for you to do is sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Take up your cross. Follow me. And you'll have treasures in heaven. He loved him enough to tell him, your money is going to keep you out of heaven. That woman you go with is going to keep you out of heaven. That whiskey you drank on the side going to keep you out of heaven. That little money you stealing on the side going to keep you out of heaven. Jesus loves us enough to tell us, how many want to go to heaven? But Jesus loves us enough to tell us, if you don't give this up, it's going to keep you out of heaven. Now, what? I don't care how much I like it, because we got to admit one thing. Let's be real. Some of our sins we love. We love some of our sins. That's why we have such a hard time giving it up. Huh? You've been going to the racetrack for the 20 years and you've been hitting and you telling me that the racetrack gonna keep me out of heaven? I don't know about that, preacher. Amen? Like the bootlegger lady was selling whiskey, been selling whiskey for 50 years, and she supplemented her income with that money. Are y'all listening? I mean, that was bootleg money. She ran a shot house. Y'all come on, talk to me. Is that all right? She ran a shot house. Some of y'all been in there. I saw some of y'all in there when I was in there. Come on, talk to me. Is that all right? And the preacher man came by and told her, you need Jesus. You need a savior. You need salvation. He said, yeah, preacher, I know you're right. And I'm gonna give up this bootleg business. So the year passed. And he came by and she had passed away. But she never did give up the business and accept Christ. He loves me enough to tell me what's standing in my way. Let me tell you something, church. Sometime, church, and I'm learning this in my own life, you've got to do the difficult, challenging, and hard things in your life in order to experience the awesome, wonderful, and glorious things in your life. Is that all right? You have to sit down, and some people are not going to go to heaven because there's something down here they can't give up. And let me tell you this. He loved you enough. He loved me enough to die for us. That's the heart. How many folk do you know? How many folks are in your life right now, R-A-D, will die for you? How many? Can you count them on one hand? Can you? But here's a man who loved me enough that he died for me. That's the heart of a savior. Because if he had not died, I couldn't go to heaven. And I want to thank God for my Savior. Well, Brother Moss, how do I become a New Testament Christian? You become a New Testament Christian by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17. You become a New Testament Christian by believing it. John 3:16. You become a New Testament Christian by repenting of your sins. Acts 17, verse 30. You become a New Testament Christian by confessing Romans 10, 9, and 10. And you become a New Testament Christian by being baptized or immersed in water. And when you do that, here's what the Bible teaches. The Lord adds you to the church. What church? The church that Jesus promised to build in Caesarea Philippi. The church he purchased with his own blood. In fact, when it comes down to salvation, the only thing you can do is accept it. You can't reject him, because when it comes down to being our Savior, Jesus Christ was not elected or selected by a poll or a popular vote. He was appointed our Savior. He was appointed, anointed, and approved as our Savior by God the Father. And I must accept him, or is either Christ or condemnation. There's no other way to be saved outside of Jesus and what he provides in his gospel. And his gospel lets me know there's one body, and that body is the church that he purchased with his own blood. Amen. And you must be a member of that. And if you are a member of the body, the Lord loves you enough to tell you if you need to repent and ask for forgiveness, you ought to do it. The Holy Spirit said, the day you hear God's voice, do what? Harden. But God knows we do have a hardened heart, so he gives us time. And aren't you glad he does? Give you time to get yourself together. Amen. Isn't he a great God? And that's why the writer said, unto God invisible, immortal, and eternal, be honor and glory forever and ever. Didn't he say that? And then I hear the voice of the Savior coming down through the century, Brother West. I hear him saying, come unto me. Can y'all hear him? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I need some rest, Sister Sperling. Is that all right? She said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek, Brother Milton, and I'm lowly in heart. You're going to find rest. Anybody needing to rest this morning? Rest, Lord, have mercy unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Is that all right? So you don't have to worry about coming. You don't have to be worried. Come on to Jesus. You don't have to be afraid. Come on to Jesus. You don't have to be unsure. Come on to Jesus. Is that all right? You don't have to be timid. Come on to Jesus. Is that all right? And whatever you need, he will supply. Is that all right? If you need him, he'll supply all your needs. If you're lonely, he'll be your friend. If you're lost, he'll find you. Is that all right? If you're angry, he'll calm you down. If you're sick, he'll give you healing. If you're hurt, he'll give you relief. Is that all right? If you're confused, he'll be your way. Is that all right? If you're naked, he'll put some clothes on you. Is that all right? If you're down, he'll lift you up. Is that all right? If you need guidance, he'll be your bridge over troubled water. Whatever you need, he will supply. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Then he said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we don't carry. I'm learning how to carry, Sister Blanson. Oh, I got a lot of stuff on me, but I believe I can make it because Jesus is with me. Is that all right? Sometimes I can't see my way, but I believe I can make it because Jesus is my shepherd. Is that all right? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, I tell you, stand on your feet. Oh, what a blessing it is to have a Savior. I'm so glad I got a Savior. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. Is that right? He'll talk up for you. He'll talk up for you. He died for you. He waiting for you. He came for you. He's coming back for you. Can you top that? Now we're going to extend his invitation. We're going to extend his invitation. Is anybody here need a Savior this morning? Anybody here need his saving grace? Anybody need his mercy? We're going to sing Your Grace and Mercy. That's going to be our invitational song. Grace and Mercy. It's invitation time now. Are you going to take advantage of this time or are you going to wait? Because you figure you got some time. And I understand the Savior gives people time. Maybe you're in a situation where you say, I just ain't ready to give it up. I just ain't ready. But the hymn out is that give yourself to Jesus. You don't have much time. Here's the invitation. Here's the invitation. Anybody need a Savior? Well, let me tell you, he has a heart of humility. You don't have to be afraid to come. Okay, what you're done, where you are, don't be afraid to come. Don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't be afraid to come. He's got compassion. He cares about you. He really cares about you. He's got patience. He's been patient with you. He's going to be patient with you. Amen. And he's got love for you. He's the best friend I got. Can you say amen to that? He's the best friend I got. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you need a Savior? As we sing them. If you need him, fill out a card. Come down the aisle, stand where you are, whatever your situation is, whatever you need this morning. I'm telling you about a heart of a Savior. Ain't that good news? I may have come in this assembly with some burdens, but I don't have to leave with them. Is that all right? I may have brought them in, but I can lay them down in here today. Is that all right? Your grace and mercy, it brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. Now I want to thank you, Jesus. And praise you to your grace and mercy, oh yeah, brought me through.